Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the next episode of the Aligned Love Podcast. Today, I have Dr. D. Sienna on the show, also known as Dr. D. He is a qualified medical examiner, a certified physician provider in therapeutic lifestyle changes. He is also a chiropractor and a certified nutrition specialist. He has a private practice in Irvine, California, that is currently staffed with 5 doctors, and they are experts in neurointegration. We geek out in this episode all about the nervous system, and I wanted to speak to him because I know that he is a master of understanding your brain-body connection. So without further ado, we're going to jump right in and talk to Dr. D. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Aligned Love Podcast. This is the place where I am going to help you find the one thing that you feel is missing, healthy love. I am your host, Lauren Zoller, and in this podcast, I will share with you how to attract love, live in alignment, and elevate your deepest relationships. So buckle up, get present, tune into your body, and open up to the possibility that you truly do get to have it all. Let's dive in. Dr. D. Sienna, welcome to the show.
Hey, well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm so excited to chat today. I know that you are a little bit of a different expert than we have on the show, and you came so highly recommended. And so I'm really excited to talk about how we can start to tap into our body and really understand how neurointegration and everything that we use and come in contact with in a day-to-day basis can really help us deepen our relationship to self, but also to others. But before we even jump into any of that, I always like to start the Align Love podcast with an intention setting. So right. I would love for you to set an intention for what you want the listeners to walk away with today.
Okay. For me, I just want to be, number one, transparent. And I've had a lot of experiences in my 63 years on this planet. And really, I do brain work. And my intention is through the neurology of the neural pathways that we share, that we can come to a point of what we call the state of the polyvagal theory calls it connection and calmness. So if we can be in a state of chronic connection, I really do, and I know this sounds so trite, but I really do believe like the planet would be in a much better state if we can be in a calm and connected state, because that's really when we're at our best self. That's actually who our true self really is, right? Most of the people that we encounter are more tend to be in what we call a fight or flight state. And it's really, really difficult to have pure love connection when you're in that state. We can go more into that as the podcast continues, but my highest intention is for all of us to be in that calm, connected, loving state.
Love it. Love it so much. And you're speaking my language through polyvagal theory. I am trained under Dr. Peter Levine. So I know all about the nervous system. I know we're going to geek out on it, but why don't you tell us a little bit about your story and how you started to integrate some of this nervous system work and this neurointegration work in your practice as a chiropractor, and also how it's influenced your life?
Okay. So I think we need to go way back to when I was 17 years old. So I had what they thought was asthma, then it was chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And the bottom line was I couldn't breathe. And my dad would have to be in my room with me every night. It got at its peak between 16 and 17 years of age. My dad would literally have to do pulmonary cupping. I don't know if your people know what that is, but it's when you have to lay over your bed and you cup the back to break up the lungs so you can breathe a little bit. I flip back over. I put oxygen on my face. And I lived this way for a year and a half. Couldn't go to school. I was an athlete. Couldn't play sports. Lost most of my friends, you know. And my lowest moment was when the doctor was in the room with me along with my mom, and he excused himself and he asked my mom, hey, can we step in the hallway? Now, mind you, the door is open. I was on the evaluation table and it was like 4 or 5 feet away. I overheard a doctor tell my mother, you know, Rosemary, as he told my mom, we've done everything. He's seen all the specialists. He's getting worse. There's not much we can do. Maybe it's just in his head. And at that moment, you know, you're talking about a medical doctor in 1977, which is, you know, the white coat, the gray hair, the glasses, you know, the epitome of expertise and wisdom. And I thought that this was the man that was going to take care of me. And in that moment, he basically abandoned me. So that really started a journey. Well, first it was a very destructive journey. And then I got connected to a chiropractor who, I won't tell you that whole story, but it changed my life through the correction of the nerve system. And it really wasn't until just a little bit ago, as I do my deep dive. So my background is I'm a chiropractor. I also have a qualified, I have a bunch of four certifications. I'm a qualified medical examiner. I have a degree in functional medicine. I did my thesis on gut because of gut brain. But really for my 40 years in practice, I've been on a deep dive, trying to figure out really what's the cause of most disease, right? Not disease, but disease. What is it? What's driving that? And for many years, you know, I was working on the gut and the microbiome because we know the bugs in your gut affects your brain, leaky gut, leaky brain, inflammation. But really, I came to this conclusion. It's really about the neuroplastic changes that occurs in your brain. And when the brain becomes wired to a fight flight condition, guess what? You can't breathe. And what actually happens is, and I understand this, and I wish I would have understood this 50 something years ago. And that is this. When we hijack the breath, we don't exhale because we don't have enough faith when we can't exhale the breath that we're going to get oxygen back in the breath. So when we're in a state of fight flight, that lack of exhalation because of the sympathetic dominance hijacks the prefrontal cortex. And then we actually decrease CO2. Decreased CO2 actually causes vasoconstriction, which paradoxically reduces the oxygen that hits your brain and your body. And then that drives panic, which then further causes you to hijack that breath again. That further drives that sympathetic basis. And then one of two things happens. You either go into a freeze state and you panic or pass out, or you eventually come out of it. And so that whole neurogenesis for my disease that happened when I was 17 years old now completely makes sense to me. And my journey now is to share that message of how do we take control of a hijacked brain? Because that's really what it is. It's a hijacked brain. Mm-hmm. And the brain literally, if we want to really nerd out, was a part of your brain called the amygdala. I'm sure you know that is the fire alarm of the brain. It's crazy that that part of your brain literally hypertrophies when we are under a chronic, either PTS or chronic state of fight flight. So because of an early trauma that I really just came to my realization not too long ago, that set up this PTS, which then, because I did have some respiratory issues, which was just an asthma issue, that asthma turned into a COPD because you couldn't exhale. And that was really driven by a lack of polyvagal function.
Right, right. Yeah. So, and I guess we're going to speak about this because that in essence is neurointegration, is being able to understand how trauma affects your ability to function in a moment to moment basis, which then becomes this, it's a domino effect.
It really is.
When you have trauma and you don't have the tools to be able to regulate that trauma inside of your nervous system, which then affects the brain, it just starts to trickle down. Next thing you know, all of your primary functions start to shut down. So can you talk about what neurointegration is in simple terms? Because here's what I run into, and I don't know if you run into this too. As a somatic practitioner, sometimes we can geek out on the nervous system, but our clients are like, I get the big wide eyes, like, I don't know what you're talking about. Can you please dumb it down for me? So can you talk about neurointegration at its simple form and how people can understand what they're getting into and how it's so important for them to live a really healthy life and have relationships that are deep?
That's probably the most difficult question you can ask me.
I know.
Because my brain has been nothing. I'm now almost through a functional neurology certification degree. So my brain is just with neurology. But I guess here's what I can tell you. The brain doesn't care what's good or bad for you. The brain will undergo neuroplastic changes based upon the stimuli that you allow it to be received upon. So if the body and the brain are under a perceived attack of whatever it may be, either physical trauma or emotional trauma or a combination thereof, the brain becomes literally integrated to allow for a greater capacity for fight flight. Mm-hmm. So the threshold to go into the fight flight becomes lower. So the analogy that I use in my office is this, because in my office, I have several million dollars of equipment. I have a very high-tech office. We have three neurofeedbacks. We have 3 different types of hyperbarics. We do quantified electroencephalographs. We do ocular motor testing. I want to say we have one of the most technologically advanced brain offices, at least I know, in Orange County. And that includes a very, very famous brain doctor in Orange County, by the way, Newport Beach. Anyway, all that to say, if I were to light a Bic lighter in my office, and we have all of those fire smoke detectors in the office, everybody would agree that the smoke detectors would not detect a fire if I light a Bic lighter, even if I were to light some candles on a birthday cake. The alarms would not go off. The sprinklers would not go off. You would not get, the fire department wouldn't be at my front door, knocking on my door, trying to get in, because those systems are sensitive to go off only when there's an actual fire. A brain that is not integrated, that Bic lighter will set off an entire emergency pathway.
Yeah.
And here's the takeaway. In a non-integrated brain, when that happens, you're not in your prefrontal cortex. It's not like you can rationalize why you shouldn't have to be in that state, because the way God made you is that once that amygdala goes, and of course you have a shrink in something called the hippocampus, which a nerd can get into later. We don't even have to, but because of those two different anatopical, non-integrated neural pathways, the brain's designed to go into fight flight, because if you were being chased by, say, a bear, you don't want to sit there and analyze, is it a brown bear? Is it a grizzly bear? You will die. Your brain's literally wired. And I love Dr. Sapolsky. He's a famous doctor who wrote the book, Why Zebras Do Not Get Ulcers. Mm-hmm. He said that the stress response is supposed to last 3 minutes. And in those 3 minutes, you're either eating a meal or you are a meal, but it should be over in 3 minutes. Our stress response lasts for days, months, years, a lifetime. So that rewires the brain. Our brain no longer becomes integrated. Now a Bic lighter, whatever that trigger may be, which may be even subconscious, it could be a simple smell. It could be a vision. It could be a sound. It fires us in that neural pathway, and we go into that fight-flight response. And then what makes it worse is you get around somebody who doesn't understand neural integration, and they say, well, you just need to listen to a Tony Robbins tape. Nothing. I love Tony Robbins.
Can't. Yeah.
But it's just like, you just need to like get out of it. Like,
yeah.
Or I'm a Christian, but like a Christian would say, well, you just need to say a prayer. And like, that'll take that away from you. You don't understand. When the fire alarm's going off, the sprinklers are going on, the red lights are going, the fire department's at your door, it's too late for that.
Yeah.
We have to correct that neural disintegration so that we don't go off with a Bic lighter. Mm-hmm. Yet, because I do PTS, I'm actually, this October is the worldwide convention for PTS, and I'm blessed to be a keynote speaker at it. And I see a lot of very high-end, I guess you can just say badass people who make a living out of doing things that we don't want to know. Kind of like a Jason Bourne type people, right? I see a lot of those. And they always tell me, well, Dr. D, if I get into this, if I become neurointegrated, does that mean I can't go into that fight-flight? Because that will save my life and my cohorts. And it doesn't mean that we don't go into that fight-flight when we need to. But the truth is, how many times do you and I really need to be in that fight-flight response?
Yeah, very little.
Very little. So we teach people to be integrated by allowing them, again, to go back to where we started, by being into that calm, connected state. And I'll be honest with you, I struggle with it myself. I went through a couple of things just not too long recently. And even with my faith and with my understanding of neurointegration, I lost it not too long ago. And I did feel shame, to be very honest about it. And I know better. And I even know what was happening in the moment. Mm-hmm. This is crazy. I can wire the whole pathway that's going on in my brain.
Yeah.
Yet I still went to that state, which taught me a huge lesson, by the way. So anyway, I guess that was a long answer to your question, but a non-integrated state is when we go off with a Bic lighter instead of a fire.
Yeah. Well, what I really appreciate about what you just said in being transparent was that, because I like to look at this work, when we're talking about neurointegration, we're talking about nervous system work, it's a practice and it's a language. You really have to learn to speak the language of your nervous system and understand these responses. I mean, the fight, flight, the freeze and fawn response, most people don't have, we're not taught that when we're young, right? We're not taught to actually speak that language. So I think it's really nice to be able to hear that even though you're immersed in it, I'm immersed in it, it's still a practice. We still have to come back around to practicing what it looks like to understand what these responses look like. I also loved, and this is kind of where I want to segue for a moment, I love that you brought in your Christianity to this. And I say all the time, mindset work is 20% of the issue. When you're working with the body and you understand, if you want true deep healing on a cellular level, mindset work is 20%. The other 80 is understanding your nervous system and understanding these responses, neurointegration, right? But so many of us, especially in the personal development world, will say, oh, I went to a Joe Dispenza event, or I went to a Tony Robbins event, and, or I need to go to talk therapy. It's all of these mindset hacks that people are using, and they're not getting to the language of the nervous system. And they're also not bringing in the spirituality piece, which I think is a really big segue in understanding your nervous system. So I'm curious, can you go into a bit more detail around the spirituality piece? Like, how do you actually view this neurointegration work? And because you're right, so many Christians, so many people will say, oh, we'll just go pray about it and it'll be fine. But the thing is, you can't actually do that when your nervous system is in survival. So talk to me a little bit more about that piece, about the connection between divine and God, whatever it is that you believe in, and how it kind of corresponds to this neurointegration work.
Okay, well, I do believe that Jesus went into a fight-flight response, because when he was at the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says that he actually sweated out blood.
Mm.
So I don't think I've ever been through that much stress in my entire life. Yes. And I've actually sweated out blood. And that was his, because he had such a divine connection spiritually with the Father. The Bible says he did nothing in the absence of the Father's will. You know, I don't know the complete theology behind this, but I understand that he was going to be separated for some time from the Father when he went to the cross. And that separation of the Father's love and the Father's connection caused him so much stress that he went into the most severe fight flight I can't even imagine. Mm. So I have to get over the shame of those moments when I get into that fight flight response for myself.
Yeah.
I know the Bible says, take every thought captive. I know the verses. But in the moment, to tell somebody that Bible verse, I'm just going to tell you, does not help.
Mm-hmm.
It just brings upon more frustration.
Yeah.
Instead of when I'm with a person and that I try to mirror them and I do some neurological kind of pathways that we work on the vagal function and I do cranial work and some cool stuff. But the bottom line is, we can't throw religion at a person when they're stressing out. It just makes them feel worse. Because it's not something, you're not weak-minded when you're stuck in a fight flight. Let me put it this way, I guess. It's like a person goes into an ER room and they're in terrible pain. They're shaking in pain. They're sweating in pain. And the doctor doesn't take the time to do a history, doesn't take the time to examine the physical body. The doctor goes, oh, Mr. Smith, you must be in terrible pain. The guy goes, yes, I'm dying in pain. The doctor gives them some sort of a painkiller, an opiate, if you will, strongest medication possible, injects it into them, gives them some pills. Does the person feel better? Yes. What if that person was in a motorcycle accident and they have a severely compounded femur and literally the femur's disconnected and they're in terrible pain because of the femur fracture, and they go to a doctor and they don't look at the femur, they don't fix the femur, they don't put them in surgery to connect the femur, to put screws in the femur, put a cast around the femur. Instead, they just give them medications because you're going to be better. Or worse yet, well, it's just in your head, like what happened to me. When, and I hate to use the word broken brain, but when the brain is not integrated, you can't just think it into integrated.
Yeah.
You have to do things to change the paradigm of the wiring, if you will. We call it neuroplastic changes. You literally need to change it. And I have a diagram that I show people that we have some sort of input, we have a fight-flight response, and then I have all the neural pathways, what happens to the brain, and then the end result is depression, anxiety, sadness, suicidality, or as my police officers say, sometimes homicidality. So we have all those neural pathways. You can't use your prefrontal cortex to rewire, just like you can't think positive thoughts and be at a Tony Robbins seminar and just those positive thoughts will fix your brain. I mean, I'm sorry, fix your femur.
Yeah.
You have to literally fix the femur.
Yeah.
Follow me?
Yeah.
So we have to literally fix the wiring of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Just by telling somebody think better thoughts or say a better prayer, it doesn't fix the neuroplastic change that's been damaged, possibly at the age of 5 years of age, which is more likely what happened to me.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, and it's even in hearing you say that too, because I always, when clients come to me, they're so frustrated because they're like, I know I need to meditate. I know I need to pray. I know I need to get still. And I tell them all the time, yeah, but if your nervous system is in fight flight, it's going to be absolutely impossible for you to sit there and meditate and pray.
Right.
You can't do it, right? Because the nervous system is taking over. It's running the show. And so I think what you're saying, which I just absolutely love because I'm all about it, is that at some point we've got to start looking at the brain. We have to quit with all of these mindset hacks and all of the things that are out there, which is everywhere.
Gosh, you're speaking my language. I love hearing people who agree with that because it's so not the standard right now.
Yeah.
It's such a blind spot, especially in, I just have to say this real quick, because I have a nonprofit that we take care of first responders and veterans at completely no charge. It's because these people suffer severe PTS.
Yes.
You know, the veterans go to the VA, they just give them psych meds. And by the way, 85% of people who get put on an SSRI does zero good for them. And that's just a study. That's a stat. That's not like I'm not making that up. Because people don't even measure that. A lot of depression has nothing to do with low serotonin levels. Mm-hmm. Most PTS, actually, if you look at neurotransmitters, has to do with norepinephrine and dopamine. But let me go back to this. Those people who go to most doctors who don't understand neurointegration, they never feel heard. And because the person, the doctor, doesn't understand it themselves. Mm-hmm. It's a blind spot in medicine. It really is. So thank the Lord for people like you and for Kelly who do this work, because this really is an area in healthcare that's completely disregarded.
Yeah.
And these people then go on the medication. Again, that would be like saying, I'm going to take a med for a compounded fractured femur. It's mm-hmm. never going to make the bones come together and heal.
Right. Right. Well, and it's really great to hear it from a medical perspective, because as you know, I'm coming from the therapy lens, and it's the same thing over here too. There are so many talk therapists who are just talking people in circles and putting people on antidepressants and putting them on anti-anxiety meds, but they're not getting to the root of where that trauma really stems from in the body, so that they can actually heal the issue at hand. So I love this conversation. I feel like we could talk about it forever and ever. I have one question that I ask every time that I have somebody on the Align Love podcast, and I would love to ask it to you too. What does it mean to you to be in an aligned relationship? And that can be with your significant other, with your body. What does an aligned relationship mean to you? How would you describe that?
That is another very good question. You have very good questions, by the way.
Thank you.
They're not easily answered when you're completely honest as well. So I think an aligned relationship is the ultimate pursuit. And I don't think it means when you agree with the person all the time. I think it means when you are safe in the idea that your ultimate standards is not the word I'm looking for.
Values.
Values. Thank you. When you ultimately share similar values and the person that you are aligned with, you have trust in those values will not be shaken.
Mm-hmm.
And that even if you're in an argument, you had something we all mess up. And so many of us, you know, it's hard. I tell everybody, those are the thing, the parietal lobe in your brain. When we have incoming data, we all filter through that thing called the parietal lobe. That's why it's so important, like we started, to be integrated, because the prism by which you see the world is filtered by the health of your nervous system. And all of us, with the exception of Jesus, have somewhat of a skewed prism by which we perceive the world around us. So you have two people who have these imperfect perceptions. Follow me?
Yeah.
However, when you understand that a person's primary values are similar and you fully trust that, then you can share from the heart and have a disagreement, knowing that there's going to be that person there for you at the end of it,
right?
Because of the commitment to those values. And core values are something that needs to be talked about, in my opinion, early on in the relationship. Because if you start a relationship and don't appreciate those core values, and then you get deep into the relationship, and then you have to go, okay, now we're at completely different values. How do we retrofit it together?
Yeah.
Then you have some really tough decisions to make.
Right.
So I would say aligned core values as my answer.
I love it. I love it. I preach that all the time, that it's so important that you find that out on the front end. I think that the nervous system piece is a big one too. I mean, I know personally, once I started diving into the nervous system work, it was really hard for me to date someone who also didn't have that same language and didn't have that understanding. So I think what we've been talking about today is just something for people to get curious about when it comes to being in their relationship and getting, you know, more education around being in that space of understanding what it looks like to be in relationship to survival and to safety in your body. So I'm curious, because I know that people are going to listen to this and they're going to want to know, okay, all this makes sense, but how do I start to do this work? How do I start to dive in? Where can I get in contact with you, or how can I come to your office and work with you? So can you just talk to people about what's next for you and also how they can find you?
Gosh, that's such a great question. And you did an amazing job, by the way. I just have to say, I do quite a bit of podcasts, and you have very good questions, are challenging.
Thank you.
A lot of people throw out those little softball questions that are, and then when you throw out a softball question, a softball answer comes back.
Yeah. You know? I get it.
You challenge me. I love it. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
So I'm in Irvine, California, and you can just find me at drdisiena.com. So it's drdisiena.com. And in my office, we do a lot of diagnostics. The first thing that we do is we actually look at the brain. So we do what's called a quantified electroencephalograph, because then I can see the actual wiring of the brain. Just like a person gets, you know, their heart checked, they do an EKG. You can't see me, but I'm actually touching my heart there. But you do an EKG, that gives you limited data. And then now what cardiologists will do, they're not satisfied with that because that's a heart at rest. And then they say, okay, let's go on a treadmill and let's do a stressed EKG.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we do the EEG. So we put this 19 different neural shocks on your skull. We pick up all of your electroencephalograph readings, the electrical readings of your brain. So it allows us to see the different aspects of your brain. But then what we do is we put you through some tests. One of the tests I was just telling you about, I alluded to it, is called the parietal 300 test. That's the test that we see. How effective are you at perceiving your environment, and how skewed is that? How altered is that prism by which you're seeing the world? So that's a really cool test that we do. And so while we're doing these tests, we're recording the brain waves. And the amount of data we get from it and the insight we get into the brain is so telling. So that really is essential to the work that we do. We also do a lot of ocular motor tests. There are 6 muscles that control each eye, 3 cranial nerves. And the cool thing about that is those 3 cranial nerves connect to every part of your brain. So that's why we've done this, or you've seen neurologists do that. A person has a traumatic brain injury, they say, okay, follow my finger, right? So we have a device, which is super high tech. It took me a year and a half to get acquainted and get certified. Oh, yeah. Anyway, it has 2 different infrared cameras that look at each eyeball, and it picks up the movement of your eye at like 15 frames a second. Mm. And so as we look at different parts of the brain, again, we can allow for neural integration just by doing ocular movement. So we send people home with an iPad. There's an app called Focus Builder, just one of the many apps out there. And we program it, and then we can have people do neurointegrative work at home in the comfort of their home. And it doesn't cost them a penny, because once you buy the app, you own it for the rest of your life. You can share it with your friends and family. And that's the really cool work that we do. Mm-hmm. Also, people who literally have brain damage, and again, people don't realize this, but emotional trauma or physical trauma, the end result to the brain is identical. So we love to do hyperbaric work in our office. We do mild hyperbaric work. We have chambers that go from 1.3 to 1.5. Mild is the best thing for the brain. And we see complete restoration. It improves stem cells. It improves neurogenesis. It improves what we call angiogenesis, which increases capillary networks to the brain. And then lastly, one of the cool things we do is something called neurofeedback. We use a company called BrainPaint. I'm really good friends with the founder. His name is Bill Scott. He's literally the most researcher, or I should say published researcher in neurofeedback. He's now a good friend. I literally text him. It's so awesome to have these really my heroes. Now I have them on my phone. It's so awesome. He did most of his work at the Geffen Center in UCLA. And then, of course, chiropractically, we do brain-based chiropractic. So we measure every visit with every patient, every visit, we measure vagal function. So we do specific work, cranial work and upper cervical chiropractic specific work to open up vagal function. And we can measure it. We can do HRVs. We can do vagal temperatures. There's all kinds of ways we measure gag reflex. But nonetheless, every visit, everybody walks out of my office, or our office, I should say, with improved vagal function.
Mm, amazing.
Now, if I could kind of follow up on that, or did you want to have a question?
Absolutely. Okay. No, so, that's great. I know you have a retreat coming up, so I want to hear about that.
Thank you. So we have a retreat because I can't get to everybody. And so people have been asking me, how can you do all this? Because frankly, I don't know of any other office that integrates all of what we're talking about. So we do gut function. We do a lot of gut work. I still do that. That was my thesis in my functional medicine degree. So it's still part of what we do. So we do gut function. We do neurofeedback work, hyperbaric work. We do vagal function, everything except for talk therapy we do in our office, right? So I am now put together a stress reset retreat that we're going to have. The first one's going to be in Ojai. If you follow my Instagram, I will make the announcement when we're giving out dates. But basically, we're going to do an intensive care reset retraining, and we're going to offer these services. In fact, I was talking to Kelly about doing the work that you all do.
Yeah.
That would be awesome to have for, that would be an essential component. We're going to have one of the best Tai Chi instructors I have. We're going to have a brain-based chiropractic care. We're going to have cold water facial immersion therapy. We're going to have massage therapy, all based upon and centered around the stuff that we do. And we will have a Christian-based work in there as well. So we're going to include our faith into it, because that is a component of what I do. Because I do believe that we are fearfully and wonderfully knit in our mother's womb. So I don't believe from that paradigm basis that we have to add something to it. All we have to do is take that which is inhibiting the body, but from functioning the way he intended to function, remove that, allow the body to reset, and the body is going to function in this most amazing sort of way.
Right.
And that's the hope and the dream. So these retreats are going to reset a person so they can be in that calm, connected, loving space. So not only are they going to be able to have another connection with God, but they're going to love themselves better. And because they can love themselves better, they're going to love others better. So we call it the above down inside out. So they're going to receive his love. They're going to love themselves because they know they are loved by the divine, our Lord. And then through that, right, you can't give what you don't have. We're going to be able to love others through that.
I love it so much. Love it so much. Well, Dr. D, thank you so much for coming on the show. Mm-hmm. I know that we are going to make sure that we link everything in the show notes below. So if anybody is listening and you are interested in the retreat, you're interested in finding out more about Dr. D. Sienna, you can go to show notes below and check it out. Thank you so much for sharing your heart. And I cannot wait to have you on again soon. And hopefully I will be able to come and check out the retreat too.
I would love that. So thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Talk soon. Bye-bye.
That wraps up today's episode of the Aligned Love Podcast. One thing that would really help me and the other new potential listeners is for you to rate this show and leave a comment wherever you tune in and listen. Also, make sure to link up with me on Instagram at Lauren Zoller, and please share this podcast with anyone who you think may enjoy it. Until next episode, remember, every transformation begins with one moment of awareness, and I hope today has been yours. I'll see you next time.